תפילת החברים. תודה לך, בורא אהוב, על שזימנת אותנו.
Prayer of the friends. Thank you, beloved creator, for having summoned us to implement between us the sacred work of raising the Shekhinah from the dust, and for connecting the hearts of the friends to reach the feeling of love of others. Please give the friends who pray to be in your presence with devotion the vessels to feel your response. Amen.
Microphone and speak loud and clear. So, writings of Rabash, the article, what is the saboteur was in the flood and he was putting to death in the work. It is written in the Zohar, Noah, there was a flood and the saboteur was sitting inside. Baal HaSulam asked, what is the difference between the saboteur putting to death or the flood putting to death? He said that the flood caused corporeal suffering and the saboteur causes spiritual suffering. In other words, within the corporeal suffering, there is a saboteur who kills a person spiritually, meaning that the torments of the body bring him foreign thoughts until these thoughts sabotage and kill the spirituality. We should interpret his words. The flood and the rain are called revealed, meaning what is visible to our eyes, that the saboteur, the flood of rain, was killing the people. That is, what a person thinks that if the will to receive had what it demands, meaning knowledge and not faith, meaning if it could understand everything about his providence, as the will to receive requires, he would serve the Creator properly. However, it is not so. And as a result, because of it, it is difficult for a person therefore a person strays from the life of lives because it is difficult for him to suffer. Hence, the person wants the Creator to impart upon him only pleasures. This is why he moves away. However, within the corporeal suffering, meaning because of a person's inability to understand his guidance, why the Creator does not give him what the will to receive understands that the Creator should give, and he suffers, from this, death in spirituality is extended, meaning spiritual suffering that causes death in spirituality. In other words, he falls into heresy. That is, the fact that he suffered the corporeal suffering because the Creator did not give him what he thought, and it pained him, these sufferings cause death in corporeality. As it is written, the poor is considered as dead, and one who has no sons is considered as dead. However, afterward, he comes into spiritual suffering, meaning that he cannot overcome with faith and believe in the Creator, that he leads the world with the guidance of good and doing good. At that time, he comes to heresy. This is called spiritual death. When a person falls into the vacant space of the Sitra Achra, other side. Later, when a person re-enters the work, it is considered the revival of the dead. At that time, a person must believe that the fact that now he has begun the work once more is not by his own strength, but he rather received from above the dew of resurrection. This is considered the revival of the dead. with which he has been rewarded because he received an awakening from above. For this reason, a person must say each day, "Blessed are you, Lord, who returns souls to dead corpses." Also, one should say, in the 18th prayer, "You are certain to revive the dead." Thus, there are two things here concerning suffering. One, corporeal suffering. When a person suffers in corporeal matters because of what he needs, and he suffers death because of it, as in, the poor is considered as dead, and one who has no sons is considered as dead. It follows that this death is not related to spirituality. However, afterward, it causes him spiritual death, because he cannot believe that the Creator leads the world in a manner of good and doing good. It follows that this is spiritual death and not corporeal death. This is the meaning of saying that within the flood of rain, which is corporeal suffering, he later comes to spiritual suffering, when he cannot justify providence, and therefore he falls into spiritual death. This is as it is written in the introduction to the book of Zohar. Before the end of correction, Malchut is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, since Malchut is the guidance of the Creator in this world. As long as the receivers have not been completed so they can receive His whole benevolence, the guidance must be in the form of good and bad, reward and punishment. It is so because our vessels of reception are still tainted with self-reception. Thus, we necessarily feel evil in the operations of providence in relation to us. It is a law that the created being cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for that is a flaw in the glory of the Creator, for the created being to perceive him as an evildoer, for this is unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the worst punishment in the world. It therefore follows that when a person receives bad from him, it makes the operator become concealed from him. This is called death in spirituality. And who caused him to receive bad from him? Why did he receive bad? It is because those vessels were still dirty with self-reception. Hence, guidance must be in a manner of concealment and hiding. For this reason, the suffering causes death in spirituality. Because of this, a person must go above reason and not be impressed by the reason, what he sees, and upon which he builds his work in holiness, so he may be rewarded with entering the Kedusha, holiness, since this reason came because he received ills. And according to reason, if the Creator is good and does good, why did he not give the person what the person thinks he needs? And instead, the Creator does what he wants. It follows that reason is built on the basis of guidance of good and evil. Hence, the person's only choice is to say that what reason tells him is incorrect. As was said about this, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. Instead, he should not be too impressed by his reason, and he should say that he's going above reason. However, concerning the feeling of nearing the Creator, there are two manners to discern. One, sometimes one is worried that he should obtain something he needs. Normally, when a person needs something, he prays to the Creator to satisfy his need. If he needs this thing and does not see a natural way to obtain it, and a miracle happens and he receives what he asks for, the person is filled with love for the Creator for helping him obtain that matter. And he attributes obtaining that matter to the Creator. It follows that nearing to the Creator came to him by reception of delight and pleasure. This was the cause for nearing the Creator. The same applies for a sick person who has become healed. He was already despaired, and suddenly a change for the better occurred, and he was cured. He, too, sometimes draws near to the Creator. And the reason was that receiving the good from the Creator brought him closer to the Creator. At times, it is to the contrary. The person suffers torments, and the torments push him to draw near the Creator. That is, it occurs to him that if he takes upon himself the burden of Torah and mitzvot, the Creator will save him from his troubles. It follows that the suffering caused the nearing to the Creator. It should be said about this that since at a time of trouble a person is in a state of loneliness, and since it is written the Lord is high and the low will see, it follows that the fact that he is in loneliness because of the troubles and torments that have afflicted him, he is ready to receive help from above. As it is written, the Lord is high and the low will see. However, usually we see that suffering pushes a person away from the Creator, since he cannot attribute the suffering to the one who is good and does good. Hence, this causes him death in spirituality. However, concerning loneliness, there are many interpretations. In other words, when a person lowers himself, the question is, what is loneliness? How is it expressed when a person is in loneliness? The literal meaning is that loneliness is when one subdues oneself and works above reason. This is called loneliness, when he lowers his reason and says that his reason is worthless. In other words, man's reason dictates that if the Creator gives him all his needs, which the will to receive understands that it deserves, then he can love the Creator. That is, he loves him because he satisfies all his needs. This is why he loves him. If he did not, he would not be able to lower himself and say that his reason is worthless. Rather, at that time, one departs from the Creator and says that it is not worthwhile to serve the Creator if the Creator does not grant him his wishes. It follows that this is called proud, since he wants to understand the ways of the Creator. In what is he regarded as good and doing good if the body does not get what it demands? About such a proud person, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. But if he lowers himself and says, I cannot understand the ways of the Creator, and he says that what his reason dictates is worthless. However, he is going above reason. This is called lowliness, and it was about him that the verse, "The Lord is high and the low will see," was said. He is rewarded with the Creator bringing him near to him. Accordingly, we can interpret what our sages said. Anyone who chases greatness runs away from him. That is, the person says, I can serve the Creator on condition that the Creator sends me greatness. That is, if I feel his greatness, I will be able to work for the sake of the Creator. Otherwise, I cannot work for the sake of the Creator. He is told, greatness runs away from him. But when a person says, now I want to be a servant of the Creator unconditionally, and I do not need greatness, but he rather wants to serve the Creator in utter lowliness, meaning, although he has no feeling of the greatness of the Creator, but above reason, which is called lowliness, then he's rewarded with greatness because he lowers himself, since he wants to work only for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake. Hence, when he says that he cannot work unless he feels the greatness of the Creator, it follows that the will to receive says that if he does not understand the greatness of the Creator within reason, he will not be able to work for the sake of the Creator. It follows that only the will to receive is the operator. But on the will to receive, there was a restriction and concealment. Hence, it is utterly impossible for it to be rewarded with greatness. Instead, a person must always run away from greatness. At that time, it can be said, as it is said, he who runs from honor chases him. It therefore follows that there are several stages in the order of the work. 1. A person must first chase greatness and honor, since otherwise he has no vessels at all for honor and greatness, since the thought acts on what the person demands. If he has no vessels for reason, how can he go above reason? Therefore, when a person begins to work, he must think how to receive the greatness of the Creator, since certainly when he has a feeling of the greatness of the Creator, the body will not resist, because it is natural for the small to annul before the great. There is no work on this, since there is a rule that the body does not resist anything that comes by nature. But if he has no yearning for reason, meaning to want to serve a great king, then his work is only in the action, and he has no need for the Creator to help him, since then he works only to receive reward. To the extent that he believes in reward punishment, to that extent he can work, and he has no need for the greatness of the Creator. In other words, even though the king is not so great, he does not mind, since he looks at the reward and not at the giver of the reward. But if he begins to work for the sake of the Creator, then he already needs the greatness of the king. It follows that if he does not yearn for the greatness of the king, it is a sign that he is not working for the sake of the Creator. Thus, specifically when he chases greatness, It is a sign that he wants to achieve a state where he can say that all his actions are for the sake of the Creator. Afterward, when he feels that he must know that he has a great and important king, and he sees that this is to him the main obstructor, what he needs in order to be able to overcome the will to receive, he comes to the second stage, when he has to run away from the greatness, but rather he wants to work for the sake of the Creator unconditionally, which is called above reason. In other words, although his reason tells him, you see that you believe in only a small king. The person should still say, to me, you are a great king, as though I felt it. I believe, above reason, that you are a great king, as though I felt it. Hence, at that stage, he runs from the greatness and from the honor, and then the greatness and the honor chase him and catch up with him, although he does not want to receive the greatness, because only then there is equivalence with the Creator. This is the same as we learn about the zivug de hakah, the coupling by striking. To the extent that the screen rejects the light, although it has coarseness, meaning desire and yearning, it still does not receive it, because it wants to be a giver and not a receiver. Hence, by the rejection in the screen, the reflected light is born in it. And in this reflected light, he receives a new vessel for the reception of the light. It is likewise here. First, a person needs to acquire a desire and yearning to obtain the greatness of the Creator. And then the person must acquire the strength to reject the greatness and not want to receive it, because he wants equivalence of form. At that time, he obtains the reflected light. And in this reflected light, he receives the greatness and the might. It follows that there are three stages here. One, to want specifically the greatness of the Creator. Two, to reject the idea of yearning, meaning that although he understands that if he has true feeling of the greatness of the Creator, the body will surrender to do the holy work, still he runs away from the honor and the greatness. And he says that he wants to work for the sake of the Creator, although he has no feeling. Rather, he asks the Creator to give him the strength to be able to defeat the will to receive, even though it disagrees with it. Three, when he does not need the feeling of the greatness of the Creator and works for the sake of the Creator unconditionally. At that time, he's rewarded with the greatness of the Creator and the glory of the Creator. Then the words, he who runs away from honor and from greatness, the honor chases him and wants to cling to him. These words come true because he already has equivalence of form, meaning that he wants to work in order to bestow. Accordingly, once a person understands that it is worthwhile to receive the feeling of the greatness of the Creator, because then the body will agree to serve the King. And once he has a demand for it, since he wants to work for the sake of the Creator, but the body resists it because as long as he does not feel the greatness of the Creator, he does not want to believe above reason. Then comes a state where a person must run away from this, because this is only an argument of the will to receive. But when he does not feel the greatness of the Creator, the body does not agree to this work. And then the person must say, but our sages said, anyone who chases greatness, greatness runs away from him. Since a person must work for the sake of the Creator, even when the body does not enjoy the work, since for the sake of the Creator means not considering one's own benefit whatsoever. This is as it is written in the introduction to the book of Zohar. Whole love is whole on both sides, whether in judgment or in mercy. And even if he takes your soul, your love for the Creator is in complete wholeness, as when he gives you abundance. There is one who loves him so as to have wealth, long life, sons around him. He rules over his enemies and sees success on his way. Thus, he loves him. If it were to the contrary, and the Creator would reverse the fortune upon him with harsh judgment, he would hate him and not love him whatsoever. For this reason, this love is not love that has a foundation. Complete love is love on both sides, in judgment, or in mercy and success in his ways. He will love the Creator as we learned, even if he takes his soul away from him. This love is complete. We should interpret that a person having to love the Creator in ascent, when he feels that the Creator leads the world as the good who does good, since during the ascent, a person wants to annul before him unconditionally. But this is like a candle before a torch, where he annuls without any mind or reason. This is regarded as the person serving the Creator when he has a soul. An ascent means that the person is alive and has the breath of life. At that time, the person has love for the Creator, and this is called the side of goodness in a work. But a person must also love the Creator when he takes his soul away, meaning when the Creator takes from him the breath of life. This is considered a time of descent, when he has no feeling of vitality, when his soul is taken away from him and he has no vitality. If he has love for the Creator in such a state as well, this is called complete love. Such a thing can only be above reason, since within reason he has no vitality so as to have the strength to overcome. Hence, a person must work during the preparation on running away from the greatness of the greatness and honor before he obtains any nearness on the part of the Creator. That is, he should not say that only if the Creator gives him the breath of life will he be able to work in order to bestow. But without vitality, meaning without the spirit of life, he cannot work for the sake of the Creator. This is not the view of Torah. Rather, a person must ask the Creator to give him the strength to love the Creator even when he takes his soul away and he is left lifeless. that he will be able to overcome and love the Creator under any circumstances. According to the above, we should interpret the meaning of "He made darkness his hiding place." It means that the Creator wants to hide himself from a person, which is certainly for man's best, because he is still not ready for revelation. Then he gives the person darkness. That is, he takes from him the breath of life. And then he falls into a place of darkness where the light of Kedusha does not shine. The person should believe that this is concealment. Concealment means that he believes that there is a great Creator who leads the world in a manner of good and doing good, but this is concealed from him. He should believe that this is only a concealment. And if he succeeds in believing that this is only a concealment, but it is not truly as he sees it, then he is rewarded with the light shining on this kise, cover, meaning that the light will shine within this darkness. Accordingly, a person should learn from the state of descent and from the state of ascent. That is, the state of descent comes to a person when he wants to make great efforts to achieve adhesion with a Creator, yet he sees otherwise, as though he did nothing. But he is in the same state as before he began the work on the aim to bestow. At that time, the person should have faith in the sages and what they say, and not in what the person thinks and says, since these descents give him room to ascend and draw near to the Creator.
Rabash
writes in a simple way that usually we see that suffering push a person away from the Creator,
yes,
because he cannot attribute the suffering to someone who is good and doing good.
Yes.
Let's say we reach a state where a person, a friend of, shares with us, and we understand he's going through suffering. And then there is me, there's the ten, and the Creator. What kind of relation should I arrange? I may see that the Creator is hiding from him. He's giving him suffering deliberately.
I didn't
understand the question.
I'm trying to understand what I should do correctly.
You should try to show your friend correct behavior. An example.
How will he identify with my example, with my suffering?
Why suffering? You don't feel suffering, he feels suffering.
Right, so what can I show him? That I'm happy and I feel good and everything?
Yes, you need to show him that in the Creator's world that we're all influenced by, you could be in the opposite state, opposite to what he feels.
Why would he accept my example? Because he might say, okay, he feels good, he doesn't have suffering, he's not suffering. But I do suffer.
But you're friends, and you can influence him. And he still relates to you, not like to something foreign.
Many times when we try to do that, it doesn't work. I'm trying to see how we can truly succeed in this, because we have plenty of examples.
I don't see what you're saying.
What should a friend come to see that he would see that indeed it all comes from the Creator?
Obviously, everything we feel comes from the Creator, and we need to each give the others good, beautiful examples of how to respond to it. The Creator influences each and every one. How does each and every one respond to it?
So I should publicize my attitude, the way that I relate to such a thing?
Yes. Yes, of course, that's called giving an example, strengthening the friend. Should be erased as quickly as possible.
I was also impressed from the article that we need to work without the greatness of the Creator, that that's also something a person should avoid.
Right. If a person doesn't feel the greatness of the Creator, he needs to develop his feeling as if he feels the greatness of the Creator and then go that way. This is called advancing in concealment. Yeah.
Good and doing good is obtained in faith above reason, right?
Yes.
But on the other hand, he writes that suffering pushes a person away from the good and doing good, from determining that the Creator is good and doing good. So my question is, suffering within reason specifically cause a person who wants to justify the Creator to go above reason. So it sounds like they're bringing him closer, actually.
Suffering brings the person closer, that's correct. They soften the person.
Meaning they bring him closer to attaining the providence as good and doing good above reason, not within reason.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Behind you there's someone?
Rabash recommends to us that during the preparation the person should run away from the greatness and the honor. What does it mean for us in the work to run away from the greatness and the honor?
Not to receive strengthening from that. Meaning I want to advance in the work. Not from greatness and honor, but from the desire to bestow to the Creator. That's it.
Tov. Ken.
Okay.
When he mentioned two stages there, with the greatness of the Creator, without demanding the greatness of the Creator, can you explain these two kinds of work and when should we do each one of them? When should we demand the greatness of the Creator and when one should say, no, I don't want the greatness of the Creator? Are these two different stages? Do they come intermittently or?
No, if he feels that the greatness of the Creator raises him and gives him strength to go forward, then on the other hand, he doesn't have the greatness of the Creator and he looks for it and he advances nevertheless. So, you see, so does he need the fuel from the greatness of the Creator or not?
А что значит отталкивать величие Творца после того, как есть желание к нему?
What does it mean to reject the greatness of the Creator after you have a desire for it?
That a person doesn't want to take it as a force that will advance him. Italy 4.
Good morning, Rav. Thanks. What does it mean that a person should love the Creator even if he takes his soul away?
Meaning to the very last drop, that as much as he can, he goes by faith above reason, and he doesn't need any strengthening from his reason in order to get. The whole work in Faith Above Reason is aimed at not wanting to use our power, our reason. Rather, we want to use only vessels that are above reason. And these are vessels where we do get closer to the friends. In vessels that are below reason or within reason, we can't get closer to the friends. We can just go a few initial steps just to feel that there is some.
Даров, здесь написано, что состояние падения приходит к человеку тогда, когда он хочет совершать
больше. It says here that in the state of descent comes to a person when he wants to invest a greater effort in order to reach adhesion with the Creator. What does it mean to make a greater effort, a greater exertion?
It means to rise above a stronger reason.
Latin 4.
Latin 4.
Disculpe la pregunta. ¿Qué es un sufrimiento corporal?
I apologize for the question, but what causes bodily suffering? What is the purpose that it serves, and how can we disconnect from it?
Physical suffering is created so that we respond as quickly as possible in each and every state, and then from that will rise. Here, nothing, and okay, Dudi.
So what should be the right fuel, the right motivation in a work?
The greatness of the Creator, and if not that yet, then greatness of the friends, greatness of the group.
Okay, so how can we work on the greatness of the Creator without the greatness of the Creator?
You are with them together, and you care about what states you are in with them, meaning they begin to influence you from literally zero.
From where do you get the greatness? That's what I don't understand. How do you get the greatness of the Creator?
From appreciating the friends.
From where will I have appreciation for the friends?
From what you see in them.
What is great in them?
That they can rise above each and every state upwards.
And from that you begin to receive the greatness of the Creator?
You start from there.
What?
More?
Ken.
Yes.
In what is the Creator great? Because he's good and doing good?
No, Ken.
Well, yeah.
How come a person who is entirely a will to receive, in order to receive, will determine that the good and doing good means great? It sounds like the exact opposite. Why would he even want to crown the good and doing good as someone who is great?
What is greater than good that does good?
I agree with you in the feeling it is so. There is nothing greater than that. But I'm asking, it just sounds like a wonder that the will to receive will decide or determine that good and doing good, which is the exact opposite of itself, that this is a great thing.
This is about people who have a point in the heart and they wish to advance to knowing the Creator. And then it turns out that the importance and greatness is measured above reason, above human qualities.
This means, if I understand you correctly, that the person who wants to determine that good and doing good is great, there is something else besides the intention for receiving for himself. Otherwise, there would be no contact, no connection to it, right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
I wanted to ask,
when a person yearns for the greatest of the Creator, then this fuel is fuel that where he's receiving justification for it in the vessels of reception, right?
Well, let's see.
So why does he later need in this transition to the second stage, whereas he's working without the greatness of the Creator, then what is he working with?
This is exactly the issue. Whether the Creator is greater than the vessels of reception, the feeling of reception, or he's great because he works in vessels of bestowal.
Okay, this is clear, but where begins the above reason here? Because it seems like all of the time he is searching for some way for himself, some reason for the desire to move.
Yes.
So when do you work in a clean way, without any reasons? If you always require some fuel to move you.
So here, you exactly go through the transition from for oneself into bestowal.
So in this transition, what is the greatness you're looking for, or you're not looking for greatness?
I'm looking for a force in bestowal.
And these are new vessels already?
Yeah, yes, of course.
And in bestowal, you don't need the greatness of the Creator. You don't need to, the greatness of the Creator, what is that? It's a reason that compels you to work. Is this why you work?
The greatness of the Creator is a cause that forces me to work. That's, let's say yes.
Can you explain the stages that he gives here? He gives three stages, and he tells us exactly what a person goes through from the need for the greatness of the Creator and up to the point where he's working in a state which is completely clean and he doesn't need the greatness. Can you go through us through these stages one by one?
He writes about it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but maybe you can open it up more so we can understand it better.
Look at what he writes in the last part. Read.
The last paragraph? Okay.
Yeah,
person. Okay. So a person should learn from the state of descent and from the state of ascent, meaning that when the state of descent, it comes to a person when he wants to make great efforts in order to reach adhesion with the Creator, nevertheless, the person sees the opposite, as though he did nothing, meaning he's in the same state as before he entered the work of in order to bestow. Then the person should have faith in the sages, what they tell him, and not what the person thinks and says, since these descents give him room for sense and to draw closer to the Creator. Okay, but I don't understand from where do we take those vessels of reception, of bestowal? If it's not from the need for the greatness of the Creator anymore, because we always said that specifically the greatness of the Creator is what you need. This is what raises you above reason. This is what gives you the power. And now it seems like we have some new creation here, these vessels of bestowal. Where do they come from?
From the same vessels. That the Creator shines on them and they become in order to bestow.
And then they work. They need a reason to work. Does the person need a reason to work? Or is he simply always in order to bestow?
But he's already in such a state where he doesn't need.
Good morning, friends. Good morning. Why is the work above reason considered as more important than the work when he feels delight and pleasure?
Because he doesn't do the work because he feels good. Rather, because the greatness of the Creator necessitates him.
And can we perform an act of bestowal when we are in the delight and pleasure, or does it have to be above reason?
When he's in good and pleasure, he can't come out of it. He's there because it forces him. When he makes a restriction and rises above the good and delight, and the delight and pleasure, then he can make actions of bestowal, not by being bound by the good and delight.
Meaning he's constantly searching for a place where he can do work without a reward.
Being free.
Okay.
If a person wants to examine himself and see what's he working for, then he has to check whether the greatness of the Creator obligates him, or the greatness of the pleasure, what he receives. Take it for.
Rav, good morning, friends. Rav, how we yearn for the King's greatness?
If we are disappointed from our success in all kinds of things, and we demand only one thing, that the Creator will be revealed as the upper force, and that he can shape us and give us forces of bestowal. And then we'll be able to be in bestowal. That pains him.
So, the work with spiritual suffering is actually inside of corporeal suffering. That's how it works. You must have corporeal suffering in order to begin the work.
Without corporeal suffering, he can't, because it's what he understands.
And if for a long time a person doesn't have corporeal suffering, I mean, there are such times,
then he's indifferent to
and
everything.
And he cannot work in spirituality either?
No, only through corporeality he comes to spirituality. He has to feel unsuccessful, that he's in a narrow place in terms of his work and family or something. He has to come to a state that pressures him and moves him.
So what do you do if not, well, not me, but let's say if you're successful, you're a good manager in the work, you make a lot of money, you're successful, you have a good life. What do you do?
So what do you want then?
So then I cannot work in spirituality?
No.
So what should I do?
Not do anything, because the Creator is blocking him by giving him all the best.
So what is his work of such a person?
He has no work.
But he has a point in the heart, and he wants to...
If he has a point in the heart, and through the point in the heart, he feels in troubles, meaning that he cannot attain the Creator, spirituality, that he has no contact with the goal of life, that's a different story.
But then it's spiritual suffering which is not inside of corporeal suffering. So you can have spiritual suffering which is separate.
It's possible that one cannot tie one thing to the other.
But it is incorrect. It's always one inside of the other.
I put it in an easier way. Atzilut is actually like Galgalta.
So,
that's it.
And
then he can correct everyone, only in his place. But in his place, when he begins to correct, then he has vessels and lights. He can correct.
Can I ask, where does it get it from?
Where? From being able in Katnut to be included in everyone, and in Gadlut to work with what he received in Katnut, to work with his vessels in Gadlut. Yes, Oren. Ask, maybe I'll be able to find words. Right now I'm not really.
Can Atzilut correct everyone, but it's in its own place?
Yes.
What does it mean, but in its own place? Is it a condition, or what is that?
He can't raise them above Tabor.
In order to receive corrections in Atzilut, you have to come to its place? In order to receive corrections. You said Atzilut can correct everyone.
Yes.
But in its place.
Yes.
That means that in order to receive corrections from Atzilut, you have to come to its place.
Yes.
What does it mean to come to its place? What is that condition?
It's a condition when the conditions of the corrections of the vessels is like what Atzilut determines, that it's only a chap of the ascent, first of all.
What is in the essence?
That we don't work with the correct vessels, with the real vessels of reception, but only with the vessels of reception that we collect and raise only for the sake of the ascent. First of all, this carriage broke. Now, what you can sort from it in the first stages, initial stages, that was done in the world of Ak. What you can't find in this correction, in this sorting in the world of Ak, is what remains in the world of Abiyah. And in the world of Abia, we have the order of correction, which is already through the incorporation of the vessels with the vessels. And that's what we try to raise. Well, not just Nikudim. Nikudim is already the shattering, but in the world of the correction after the shattering. So the work is by sorting, by raising the parts according to the correct order, and reassembling these parts according to the correct order. That is actually the corrections. Everything is very logical and gradual.
Yes, Rav, you describing it from the system, but what's our work? How do we take part in the sorting? How does the sorting out feel for us?
The scrutiny for us is felt by feeling ascents and descents, connections, shatterings, and by that we sort all of these actions That's how we sort them. And then their corrections, in fact, it is already in the world of Atzilut that parts of Bia are raised to Atzilut.
Let's say it's the middle of the day now. Remember, so all of a sudden we studied and want to go through this sorting out. So I can notice I have different desires. Some are about corporate reality, some spiritual, friends. So what can I do now? How can I sort them out?
And that's what we learn mainly from the Rabash articles. All the corrections can be learned only from there. All the corrections of Abia, he tried to scrutinize them in his articles.
So there is a very complicated system with many small parts, but I can't work with them. I don't know how to diagnose them. And just say, I don't know, this is the part of the exhaust pipe and this is the engine.
It is not given to you to scrutinize it according to your own mind and to start sorting the parts like that, like in the mechanics, and sort it like this or like that. No, it doesn't work that way.
So what I can notice is that there's an action I could have done, action of connection, or physically take part, and I'm trying to do it, to overcome, to connect. Out of that, the system works in a much more complicated way.
No.
So how does it work? How do these two things coincide? How do they work?
No, the system doesn't come to confuse man. It comes to help man, to push him to the correct actions, to connect to the Creator, to connect to the friends, and to ask correction from the Creator.
Okay, so what's the connection between the actions we do when we try to realize the articles of Rabash in our society and this complicated system we're learning about now?
You won't learn from these parts what you're doing. If you think that you will now read Pticha, or even Tas, and from that you'll know how to use all the parts, that's incorrect.
No, that's not what I'm thinking, but I'm asking, what's the connection between these two levels of action? What we learn from Rabash and this complicated system.
The articles of Rabash, they attract to you the light that reforms. And the light that reforms already works on you. And you, from lesson to lesson, from you start penetrating more, be more connected to all of these things. You possibly don't feel to what extent you're involved and included in all of this, to what extent you are in that same storage house of broken parts. All of these, how all these parts influence you.
Sometimes you have to reach,
it will come to an extent that you can annul towards the upper force, towards the force of correction.
No.
You come to the mechanics and you start dictating to the owner there what to do, how to assemble it, in what order, how to correct the motor and the car in general. And he's telling you, no, no, we'll do it a different way, like this, like that. And what, well, and here we have a problem, right?
Yes, on the other hand, in the I put my car in the garage, I tell him, the mechanic, to take care of it, and then and I go. Here it doesn't work this way, right?
If we would trust the Creator as we do a mechanic, that would be good. If we would give him all the keys and then just move away, that would be good. That would be complete faith. We don't want to be this way. We want to participate in correction.
So that wouldn't be good. On the one hand, you're saying it would be good to give the keys to the Creator, but then we're not part of it, so it's not good.
The fact that you give the keys, that's also participation, and every time you need to make concessions and make concessions, and our work, it seems that we have to do the corrections ourselves. There is some mixture. There is a mix-up here, and we need to see how these two approaches integrate with one another.
That connection does it by itself is not enough. There has to be more. Specific.
No, other than connection between us, we don't need to do anything. Everything else is as a
yes, as
light or the Reshimot reveal to us the now I forgot the English word, the Shvirat. Why the light works this way? Why do we reveal more fragmentation rather than corrections?
Because the lights are stronger, we can see in the stronger lights the more shattered vessels. It's how it always is. It's the inverse value of lights and vessels.
Rav, does it mean that we, when we advance, there will be more fragmentation? like we're going more deep, we're expanding, we're like
Yes, it's true. Correct.
Okay, okay, Rav. Toda la sublanut shilcha. Toda.
What do we have here?
Something more general, because we're about to conclude. Yesterday at the noon lesson, you called everyone, you talked to everyone, and you said that after the Congress you've received the preparation to rise to the next spiritual degree. Use it, and I hope you will have a good ascent. So how to use what we've received in the Congress in the right way towards the next degree?
There was good connection, good advancement, a good desire. It's only a shame to lose it. Like the convention passed, we're going back to our routine. We should make the routine today the awakening of yesterday. And by that, to rise and rise and rise. It all depends on you.
What can we add today more with respect to tomorrow, etc.?
Try and be closer to one another. Try and support and help and awaken. That's what I mean. Otherwise, everyone will, at least half will fall or fade, if not more. It's as usual, it's daily work. And don't agree with seeing friends who are showing us the different forms of behavior which are not good. Meaning, never mind, it's okay, everything's like this. We shouldn't agree with this. We need to give them a kick to wake them up, to resuscitate. I think we have to have this. It all depends only on the connection. And in this, but I think we don't need to enable our friends to be indifferent, to be calm.
That's clear. It's just that the Congress shakes you, moves you, want it or not, and routine has its own characteristic.
You're telling me.
So that's what I'm asking about. How, in our routine, our daily life, how to turn it to something powerful? How to turn our daily life to something...
It needs to be like electricity in the air. That we feel the awakening, the participation. Electricity.
Ken.
But some friends have this electricity and some don't. Some fall asleep.
So you need to add to those and remove from those. The society needs to organize
a
mutual state. I can't do these things, but look. You have to manage the general state and the individual state. yesterday.
Can we reach that same volume of connection and impression we had in the Congress today? Can we do it?
Of course.
In conditions that are not Congress.
Yes, so
how?
What's the difference?
When everyone's together, we make the preparation.
Everyone will gather now. Okay, so what? That means what? That they come to one place? No. That they all come also? Not really. It all depends. It all should be every day as new. You need to do internal actions within each and every one so that people will understand that they need to be included together.
I'm trying to say that now it seems that it depends on us to awaken each other, to help each other, to support, to raise each other, and to give new importance after the Congress.
Yes, that is correct. With that, I agree with you 100%. Now, after the convention, there is work that points towards the importance of the convention.